Okay, so welcome to another episode of the Verbal Shenanigans Podcast, and this is Scott Brennan here, and you there. Now, I want to go over a few things. Now, this is my fourth time doing the advertisements. First, my mom called, okay? Then I recorded way too loud, okay? So hopefully that's not happening again. Then my dad texted me, okay? So this is number four, all right? But anyway, okay, there's a couple things I need you to do for us, okay? One. Go to podcastland.com. I know. Okay. And just vote for the Verbal Shenanigans podcast to be podcast of the month. All you have to do is enter your email and confirm it. Takes 30 seconds. Now, what do we get? I'm not exactly sure, but I know we get featured for a month on the site, and all it can do is help. Okay. Also, if you're enjoying the podcast, you love it, you listen to weekly, don't hoard it to yourself. Share it with your friends and family. Okay, you share the G-Love episode, share Marcelo Barbera, share something where someone you know is going to like it, all right? So those two things help. Now, if you don't even know how to listen to a podcast, which is ironic considering I'm telling you, so you must be listening to the podcast, you can listen on Stitcher, on iTunes, you can listen on Laughable app, you can listen on TuneIn, you can listen on Google Play. There's endless amounts of ways to listen to this great podcast. Now, there's a couple sponsors that help make this podcast possible. I keep the lights on here. Trust me, we're barely scraping by. Now, the first one is Demented Brewing. Okay, Demented Brewing, located in Middlesex, New Jersey, right off 287 there. Demented Brewing's been open for just over a year, about a year and a half or so. And they're just a brewery that's growing into a very cool place and with delicious beer. I mean, they got this amazing tasting room with this awesome mural. There's 16 taps, okay? Great place to go. Now, they have barrel programs, sour programs. Also, they release a new beer almost every Sunday. Okay, this last Sunday, they just released Orcus, their Scotch Ale, their Wee Heavy, on draft in the tasting room. And this Sunday coming up, they're releasing Grim Reaper, a black IPA spiced with Carolina Reaper peppers on Sunday. So you got to go there Sunday. Go blow your butthole out with some hot beer, okay? It's going to be good, okay? It's going to be good. So Demented Brewing, give them some love on the old Facebook machine there, Instagram, okay? Now, there's two breweries that sponsor this podcast. The other one is Manskirt Brewing, located in the Northwest, okay, in Hackettstown, New Jersey, amongst some other breweries, okay. They just released their first cans, their porters in cans. They're selling out fast, so go there and get a six-pack, okay, a four-pack, whatever you got to do. And they're running an awesome Devils hockey game trip on February 16th for $99. You get transportation to from the corner pub to the game, beer from Manskirt, Zigmeister, Jersey Girl, and Homebrew University, food from the corner pub, a photo on the ice, plus, the seats are right behind the net. Just go right to the brewery for purchase. I mean, you're going to spend $100 between your beer bill, your hot dog bill, and your parking. So you might as well do this. Okay, it's awesome. Finally, Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. Trivia company, we host trivia nights all over New Jersey in various different bars. And we combine craft beer and trivia together. No, not all the questions about beer, but you can win prizes to breweries. You can also win prizes to the restaurant. I host on Wednesday nights at Tap Out 15. So that's Trivia Revolution, fueled by craft beer. This episode of the podcast, we have Red Bull Racing pilot and pilot extraordinaire Kirby Chambliss on. Very down-to-earth guy, very intelligent man, and maybe a little bit crazy. Okay, but please give him a listen, give him some love, and enjoy the podcast.
Hey, this is Kirby Chambliss. You've been listening to Verbal Shenanigans.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun. Yeah, I mean, our shenanigans are cruel and tragic. Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
The fact that we weren't recording for those.
Oh.
Those 3 minutes of podcast gold we'll never have back.
They'll never know how I think Minnesotans talk.
Well, at least I noticed it now and not when the guest is on. But
I can't believe you're admitting to murdering somebody.
Let's try this again. Welcome back to the Verbal Shenanigans podcast. We just recorded for about 10 minutes of nothing, apparently.
Yeah.
But it's okay. It's okay. We weren't talking about anything of substance
that's
anyway.
That's half our episodes, actually.
Yeah. We've lost probably, I don't know, 4 interviews probably. We probably had to redo, I'd say.
Yeah.
We lost
the Burlew single podcast.
Oh, yeah. That's gone. That might have. You never know. That might be somewhere deep in this recorder.
Archaeologists hundreds of years from now discover my podcast.
But we are back, like we were just saying, this is episode 134. And I was just saying before I hit the record button that I don't know, we made this like silly episode 50 back in the day. Like it was kind of like a tongue in cheek joke, like, oh, wow, you made it to 50 episodes. And we had like guests call in and say like congratulations and stuff like that. And it's hard to believe that within a few weeks, that is going to be 100 episodes ago.
Mm.
100, okay? That's a lot of hours of bad radio.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on, our episode out here is...
Yep.
That's the G-Love episode. That behind us, that was the G-Love episode finishing up. So if you go back last week, that's the one you'll hear. I know that's like some kind of weird time warp. You're hearing me talk about the episode from last week that's going out now.
Marty! We did a podcast last week.
But, yeah, almost 100 episodes ago. So we're crawling towards that 150 mark.
Mm.
It's going to be pretty cool to look back and be like, wow, we did 200 of these things.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's a lot. You know?
Tell our grandkids and everybody, like, you wasted your time, Granddad. Dad and you kidnapped me, so I'm not appreciating this.
So you went back and looked at Grandpa's podcast and you chose the Rinster? No. That's the episode.
That's your go-to. Anytime you want to make a joke about a podcast.
That's the one. That's it. No, that one wasn't
poor bad. Erin McManus.
I know. No, she was good. It was actually, that was one of the ones we lost, right?
We lost it, and then she came back, and we had a better interview, in my opinion, than the first one. I think she was a little tight on the first one.
Yeah, the Rain Dove one we lost, too. And that one, I don't think we'll ever recover. The first interview I thought was way better that we did. It was
she was getting real deep, and Corey Wade also, he was talking about some big stuff.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, oh.
And that one wasn't like a hit record, but that was like the recorder dying.
Yeah, I think, didn't it hit the floor, and then we looked at it, and it's like, uh-oh.
Something like that. Yeah. But or like when we did that interview with
Peyton Manning,
and you came in and...
Wow. Hut, hut, hut. Oh, my hall!
It was so real in my dream that I woke up like mad at you, like you. And then I'm like, okay, that didn't happen. It didn't happen.
Scott's texting me at 3:30 in the morning. What the heck? Hey, Manning. I don't remember that, but that sounds like me.
Way to lose our Peyton Manning interview. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, which is probably all of you. Which is probably all of you. I had a dream where Michael Burlew, we interviewed Peyton Manning, and he came in to do some stupid, like, Manning, like, hey, I could do it. And he, like, knocked over the recorder, like trying to throw a football.
If I recall, it was, we were doing something with the NFL, and they're like, hey, we got Peyton Manning. You want to interview him? Yeah, yeah. And you're setting everything up. You're so excited. Peyton comes in, and then I stroll in, and I'm like, Peyton, I'm all. And I lift my arms, and I... push over all the equipment.
Which I'm amazed didn't happen like during the Trevor Bain interview. Yeah. Like, I can drive, Trevor. You know, like,
watch me go in circles.
But this podcast, thank God for our sponsors, because I'm going through my phone bill the other day and I see a $56 charge on my phone. I'm like, what? Like, I don't call anybody. I'm like, what is this? And I go on like the Verizon, you know, I can chat with them.
Yeah.
I'm like, what is this $46 or whatever it is, $56 charge? And they're like, hold on, you know, like, let us search your records. And I'm like, I don't recall ever calling international, blah, 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 blah. And it's not clicking yet. Like, and she's like, oh, well, I've seen you called Ontario, Canada on this day. I'm like, oh, and now it's starting to settle in. Like, 3 of our guests in the last like 2 weeks have been from Canada. George had a Canada phone number. Randy Taylor had a Canada phone number. And I don't know if Paul Templer did either, but I don't know. But she's like, I'm like, oh, I didn't do that. I must have dialed it on by accident. She's like, sir, I've also seen you called. You called three times that day at 7:02 and 7:34, and I'm like,
yeah,
oh, yeah.
I'm very forgetful.
That's when we
get it off my bill.
That's when we hung up by mistake. That's when. So I'm like, oh man. But I didn't even know that international calling was like still expensive like that, yeah. Especially Canada.
Yeah, that. I mean, it's a special feature, but you figure Canada has the same country code as us plus one, so I don't know why that's considered. Yeah. International, that's just weird.
Yeah,
I mean, it's like the time when my parents and I moved to New Egypt, and I had the old AOL account, and I always thought anything, okay, we're in the 609 area code, so anything in 609 is local and free. Till I found out there was a thing called regional, and my dad started asking me, why do we have a $250 phone bill?
Yeah. Everything used to cost so much on phone bills. Like the internet, I remember, was so expensive. You used it too much. You'd be like, mm-hmm. We only have this much time left to use it. You know, you had your X amount of hours per month, your AOL hours.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know.
You ever call those 900 numbers? Like, you remember the old time?
Burlo, we don't want to know about you and your 900 number.
Oh, what is it? Remember?
Press 1, baby.
Nah,
to talk to me.
You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, ones. I know what you're talking about.
You gotta get a little sexier for me to get into
this. This is as sexy as I can get.
This is as sexy as I can get.
I remember when we were, me and my buddy Alex were kids, we would go to the McDonald's. we would like wrestle around in the ball pit to warm up for our backyard wrestling matches. But then we would go to the payphone and like prank call like 411. Like we would be like, oh, hello, we need the number for RD's Naked and Eat. They're like, what? They're like, yeah, RD's Naked and Eat. They're like, what the hell is that? We're like, it's a restaurant where you eat naked. Like, we thought it was like the funniest thing ever. And we're like, they could so easily just like catch us. It's like, well, it's coming from here, and there's cops all over the place. Like, I don't know. Just so stupid.
You're getting arrested for 411 calls. You're getting arrested for looking at porn in the Krausers. I mean,
yeah.
You're a badass, man.
Yeah, I lit the newspapers on fire in the middle of the night when mm-hmm. the cop. So,
oh yeah,
you're podcasting with what we call a rebel.
I know, man. I mean, I'm a little concerned. I'm glad we're kind of on the opposite sides of the table.
Yeah.
Hate to think if I got on your bad side.
You don't want to associate with this riffraff right here.
I know, man. Yeah.
I want to bring that word back, riffraff. I want to use it all the time.
Oh.
I like the sound of riffraff.
Mm.
But we have a guest on the podcast tonight.
Eventually.
Yeah, in a little bit. But it's pretty cool. So we have a pilot on the podcast. Kirby Chambliss is his name. And has a long, decorated history in the piloting community, I guess you can say. But he's also a Red Bull pilot for, you see those things on the Red Bull air races on TV you catch every once in a while.
Yeah.
So pretty insane. So we'll talk to him in a little bit. But did I ever tell you about the time I flew a plane?
No.
This is not, I'm not making it. Did I ever tell you I hijacked a plane once too.
And then I yelled Omaha and I hit the propeller and we crashed.
I was looking on Groupon and I saw a flying lesson.
Okay.
And which I guess is a little sketchy to begin with, but I bought a Groupon flying lesson and out in West Jersey somewhere, like in the middle of nowhere, some small airport. And I get there, and an old man, you know, who's definitely probably flown like his whole life, he's like, get in, and we're in like one of those little Cessnas, and you know, there's no room, and I'm a pretty big guy, and those things are tiny, man.
Yeah, so you can't really adjust the seat to get more room.
No. And so we get in the plane, and I'm like, all right, well, let's give this a shot. And, like, we're going down the runway, and, like, what you don't understand with a plane is that, like, your feet are what steers it left and right. So, like, it's, okay. Like, push on one, push on the other. So I'm, like, holding the, I don't even know what you call it, the wheel for the plane. I'm trying to turn. He's like, no, use your feet. And, you know, so it was really like hard to adjust.
So you put the feet up to the controller.
Yeah, put my feet on the wheel. Still wasn't working.
Harder. You're not a good pilot.
Yeah. So he like took off the plane, and once we got in the air, he was like, "All right, you're in control." I'm like, "Excuse me," and he it was pretty good, man. The plane is so sensitive, like the right and left, like when you hit the rudder, it's so like it easily turns left, easily turns right, like yeah. That where it's scary, like, oh my god, it's so sensitive. And we were up there and about an hour, 45 minutes just flying around, and he was telling me different things, and it's really loud. And eventually landed the plane, and you know, like their whole thing was like to basically try to like rope you into lessons. Like, hey, oh, did you like that? You know, lessons are insanely expensive. Oh, anything aeronautic is so expensive. I'm like, yeah, I'll be back. And that was my plane experience, but it was, you know, cross it off the bucket list.
Oh, that's very cool.
I'm not a fan of flying really anymore. Like, I used to kind of like it, but you probably have this problem. It's just so uncomfortable being like 6 foot and above on those fucking planes. Like, the ride we had back from Arizona, like, one of them, I forget which one it was, but it was so tight and jam packed. I like, it couldn't even move, man. And I don't know, it's just so, I start getting hot and I start like, I just need like an aisle seat, you know, and it sucks.
Even an aisle seat, sometimes there's problems. Like when I came back from India and I got an aisle seat, so I mean I didn't mind the flight there. Of course, when you're getting ready to get home, that flight takes forever.
Yep.
And I couldn't get comfortable. And I'm like, I gotta get some sleep. I mean, this thing's gonna be 20 hours long, and every time I would doze off, like my leg would be out and then somebody be coming around with the cart and just smash into my foot. And like every time I just give them a look and they're just like, oh, hello, sir. And they just go to the front and start giving out beverages. So it's,
yeah,
there's only two spots you can get on a plane when you're taller outside of the VIP section. It's either the front row.
Yep.
Or the emergency
one. Row. Yep. I actually look for that. Like when I book a flight, like I want that seat, but
yeah.
I have no problem. Listen, we're not going to survive anyway if we crash. So,
Are you going to help an emergency? Nah, I'm just here for the leg room. Cool.
I'll do it, sure. But even
though the plane's crashing, screw you all, I'm burning.
When I flew back from New Orleans in Florida last year, I had that. My ears are awful on planes. I don't know if you remember, I told you, like, I get a ton of pain and I'm like deaf for like when I was down there, it was like 2 days. Like I just couldn't hear. That's when I had to get the shot in my ass of like steroids. But even on the way back, I was like, I don't know if it's cause I had an ear infection and like the turbulence, I don't know. Like I was sweating and I was like all clammy and like, I don't know, like we were hitting turbulence. And usually I didn't think I was like afraid to fly. I don't know if it was like, cause I was sick or something and the turbulence, like, my body was like going into like panic mode. I was like hot and like hyperventilating, not like couldn't catch my breath, but like I felt like just like really nervous and weird. I don't know. So flying, I don't know.
And then they looked at you weirdly, as you said, there was a gremlin on the wing.
Right. Yeah.
There's something on the wing.
But
yeah, that's a one. I'm not worried about hyperventilating. It's weird how I got a thing on heights, but I never mind planes. But my kind of concern going on it is, I mean, New Jersey's had quite a few flu cases as of late, and we're going to be stuck in that plane. And I know a couple people are going to be coughing and sneezing and that stuff. And it's just an incubator for get ready to have a horrible weekend.
Yeah. You've always wanted to be a pilot, right?
Okay.
You've always wanted to be a pilot. You'd be a great pilot. Well,
I'm not sure. You keep winking at me, but I'm going to go say yes.
I am not winking. Oh. I'm not winking. That is, my face ticks. I figured I'd give you a little taste of what some of the questions a pilot has to take.
Okay.
I just took 10 of them, okay? Apparently, these take quite a while. So you're going to answer them right on the spot. We're going to see how you do 10 questions.
All right. Okay. I'm going to say false to do I want to crash.
During the life cycle of a thunderstorm, which stage is characterized predominantly by downdrafts? You know, downdrafts. Is it A, cumulus, B, dissipating, or C, mature?
I'm going to say B, dissipating.
Okay. We'll find out at the end your score.
Ah, gotcha.
Okay.
The suspense is killing me.
You're an expert on VOR, you know?
Yeah.
You know all about VOR.
Yeah.
You know what it stands for.
Yeah, you gave me that challenge to go to a Vore concert, right?
Vore?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're like Gwar, but
yeah,
but not.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, but why don't you just for our audience tell us what Vore stands for? VOR.
Vectoring operating residuals.
I think that's exactly right. The VOR is tuned to Jamestown VOR, and the aircraft is positioned over Cooperstown Airport.
All right.
Which VOR indication is correct? Is it A5, B1, or C4?
Well, C4 is a bomb, so I don't want that on the plane.
Right.
5 is my lucky number, going 5.
No, naturally. I mean, these aren't even the challenging ones for you. This is just like review. Basic pilot information.
I can get into it, but our guests will be coming on soon, so I don't want to waste our entire podcast. Right. So
gonna... here's one that's very easy for you. Determine the magnetic heading for a flight from Fort Worth, Meacham, Area 4, as you know, to Denton Mooney, Area 1, as you know. The wind is from 330 degrees at 25 knots, and the true airspeed is 110 knots, and the magnetic variation is 7 degrees east.
Okay.
So, Berlew, determine the magnetic heading. Is it 3 degrees, 17 degrees, or 23 degrees? Please explain your thinking also.
Well, they're all prime numbers, so that's... So they can be either one of them.
Okay.
That's very key in flying.
You're always adding prime numbers when you fly.
Yeah. If somebody says 24, you're dead.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what, well, okay.
So we don't want to die.
You don't want to die.
Yeah. Well, the number 3 was Dale Earnhardt Sr., and he's dead, so obviously I'm going to cut that out.
Right. Only you would compare flying to NASCAR, but okay.
Yeah. Since I'm comparing flying to NASCAR as they're, both so closely in line, it would be between Ricky Stenhouse Jr., the number 17 car, and the open seat of the number 23 car. Since we have a driver in the 17, we're going 17.
Okay. Remember our white trash conversation? On the last, you just gave us a range of NASCAR drivers between the open seat and the Stenhouse.
Yeah.
Okay.
You can just shove out a number. I'll tell you the driver.
I don't know. No.
Aw.
All right. Let's stick to your piloting. We can't have you do all your expertise at once. It's a little like braggadocious.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Don't go into Dukes of Hazzard after my piloting exam.
All right. Question 4. Unless otherwise specifically authorized, no person may operate an aircraft that has an experimental certificate, A, beneath the floor of a Class B airspace.
Uh-huh.
B, over a densely populated area or in a congested airway. C, from the primary airport within D airspace. I mean, easy stuff, but basic review for a guy who knows all about aeronautics.
Whatever that third thing was.
From the primary airport within Class D airspace.
Yes, right. Yes. But, that makes total sense.
But is it true that Class D airspace and Class C airspace are very different?
Yeah. It all depends on the currents and the population and the heat index.
Heat index. Yes. Gotcha. And I always forget to calculate that into my flight plans.
Yeah.
Which is why I always have those rough landings. Mm-hmm. An aircraft departs an airport in the Eastern Daylight Time Zone at 9:45 Eastern Time, bro.
All right.
Okay. For a 2-hour flight to an airport located in the Central Daylight Time Zone, the landing should be at what coordinated universal time? Is it 1345Z? Is it 1445Z or 1545Z?
Interesting.
You got this.
I would think 1445 would be the natural selection.
Oh, now for us, like us who don't know a lot about piloting, the Z stand. We don't know what measurement does that actually measure. The Z,
zinc. Engine.
So you have to land at a coordinated 1445 zinc.
Yes, exactly.
Gotcha, man. You know, I'm so glad I brought you on.
Yeah, vitamins are very important when you fly.
Right. Okay. Which would most likely result in hyperventilation? Is it A, emotional tension, anxiety, or fear? B, the excessive consumption of alcohol? or C, an extremely slow rate of breathing and insufficient oxygen?
C sounds, that seems like a general question. C, so I'm going to say C.
Well, this is something a pilot like yourself would generally have to deal with.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of psychology in flying.
Okay, we got four more here.
All right.
What exception, if any, permits a private pilot to act as a pilot in command of an aircraft carrying passengers who pay for the flight? What exception? Is it A, if the passengers pay all the operating expenses? B, if a donation is made to a charitable organization for the flight? Or C, there's no exception?
There's no exception.
No exception.
No right. exception.
Now,
I'm a liberal.
No, like what? Here's an off the cuff question. Mm-hmm. Say we got like an executive decision type situation.
Yeah.
Here, right. We got someone crawling around underneath the plane. We don't.
Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't know. Could be Kurt Russell. Could be Harrison Ford, Air Force One kind of thing.
Okay.
Does the pilot know that he's under there, or is it all secret?
We just always assume there's a movie going on behind us. So
that's part of training, right?
Yeah.
Just in case there's filming going
on.
There's
snakes. There's Harrison Ford. There's all that kind of crap.
Okay. It's so interesting. You guys live such a great life. What feature is associated with a temperature inversion? You know, inversion, not a conversion. An
of course
inversion.
Not.
Is it A, a stable layer of air, B, an unstable layer of air, or C, Chinook winds on mountain slopes?
I don't like to talk about Chinook, so we're not going to go with C.
Is it true that that's what killed your partner?
I don't want to talk about it. No. I don't want to talk about those dirty Vancouver Chinooks.
Chinook winds, okay. So, stable layer there, unstable layer, or the Chinook winds?
Obviously, it's unstable.
Unstable. Okay. An aircraft's annual inspection was performed on July 12th this year. The next annual inspection...
Trick question. July 12th hasn't happened yet.
The next annual inspection will be no later than A, July 1st next year, B, July 13th next year, or C, July 31st.
Well, I don't know that rhyme if there's 31 days in July, so I'm going to eliminate that one.
All right.
I like to get my things done early, so July 1st.
Okay. Last question. But can you fill us in, like, how often does a plane have to be inspected?
Yeah, I'll give it a quick look through, you know. I gave a visual pat down on the plane. It looks
good.
You
just give it an ocular pat down,
yeah.
and that's it. All right. Interestingly enough. Last question, Berlow. I don't know what we call you. Captain Berlow?
I don't like to show off. Yeah.
An alternating red and green light signal directed from the control tower to an aircraft in flight is a signal to A, hold position, B, exercise extreme caution, or C, not land. The airport is unsafe.
I am going to say B.
B. Okay. Exercise extreme caution. Now, let's see how you did.
All right.
So, shut up. Well, Berlow, it seems you've been lying to us.
What?
You scored a 20%, a solid 20% on the pilot exam.
Yeah. 20% of the time I land the plane. What's your point?
That's a pretty good rate.
Yeah.
Let's not even go over the answer.
Yeah.
You failed miserably.
Uh-huh.
Let's.
So I guess they're not going to let me fly that plane to Minnesota.
No, but let's shift gears and talk to a real pilot.
All right.
So once again, this is a very decorated pilot. You may have seen him on the Red Bull Air races. Here is Kirby Chambliss.
Kirby.
Hey, Kirby. It's Scott Brennan, and this is my partner here, Mike Berlow. How you doing?
Good. Yourself?
Doing great,
doing
man.
Well. Good
doing
evening, great. Sir.
We were just talking. I just gave Mike a pilot quiz that I found online, and he scored a whopping 20%.
Don't do that to me. I might actually score less than you.
I told you. I told you, Scott.
That's very reassuring to know.
It's on a curve.
But first off, thanks for giving us a few minutes here.
Yeah, no worries. Glad to do it.
So really, I got the idea of reaching out to you I was watching. It was in the middle of the day, and I think it was on Fox Sports, and one of the Red Bull air races was on. I'm like, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
And every week we try to talk to someone who's, you know, unique or interesting, or whether they're an artist or a scientist or. But I saw the
ran out of guys, and then you called me, huh?
Right, right. So we ran the garbage man we interviewed last week.
Yeah,
we were calling you, hoping you can get us in with the other guys. You know, that'd be really cool.
I can
cool.
probably get you their number.
Stepping stones, you know.
Exactly.
But and it's a very cool sport. I wanted to know: is not only are you part of it, but is this sport growing? Is it becoming more and more popular? Because it definitely seems like something I would love to see live. I think live it looks like a lot of fun to watch. But is it growing internationally? Is it big in any particular place?
It's actually, you know, I mean, I think in the States, you know, we have so much here, you know. You got, you know, baseball, basketball, you know, on and on and on, you know, NASCAR. I mean, just in everything, golf, this. So, you know, it has a lot to compete with. You know, outside the States, not as much. I mean, I've been to, you know, a race, and we've literally, now they said 1.7 million, I would say a million, but, you know, I think they overestimated that was in Turkey. And, you know, Barcelona, I mean, you know, 800,000 people. I mean,
wow.
So, you know, big, you know, and that's, of course, when it was free, you know, so. You know, now that, you know, every seat, I mean, they charge for every seat and stuff. I mean, and then, you know, as far as like, you know, filling up, you know, a lot of times we do it at these motor speedways and stuff, and, you know, trying to fill even, you know, 120,000 people would be more difficult because you're charging people, you know.
Right.
It's always great when it's free, right? So, but, yeah, I mean, the crowds are big. You know, it's shown to 300 or 400 million people on television. I mean, I guess, you know, I would say that it's getting more and more popular. You know, people were always like, well, you know, the average guy would have a hard time understanding it. And I don't think so. I think if you're over 7 years old, you can understand it's a race, you know?
Yeah. I was going to say by 5 minutes in, I was kind of into it for like an hour. Yeah, I was kind of watching. So, it was fun.
You know, the thing has always been to keep it simple, you know, and, so that a 7 year old can understand it. And I think I don't know everything there is to know about figure skating or something, but I enjoy watching part of that sometimes. And, you know, other things that I don't know anything about, I mean, I can still, you know, once I get the concept, enjoy, you know, watching it, even though I don't do it. So, but yeah, I would say, you know, I guess in the long version that, yeah, it is getting more and more popular and it's getting more and more known.
That's awesome. Now you have, I mean, looking at like a bio on you, you've been involved in basically the aeronautics and plane world. Basically, it seems like you almost your entire life.
Right.
How old were you?
Pretty good. I'm only 26.
What? Wow, you sound great for 26.
So, yeah, no, I have. I mean, I've been, you know, in aviation my whole life. My dad was a private pilot, and, you know, you know, the way I got interested in aviation, I mean, there's pictures of me when I was 2 years old, you know, carrying the model airplanes around. And, you know, I always tell people, I go, you know, I've always considered myself really fortunate, because just for one thing is that I always knew what I wanted to do, you know, and when you know what you want to do, it makes it a hell of a lot easier to do it, you know? And so all you have to do is figure out how to do it. And, you know, so I kind of came up through, you know, flight instructing, and then, you know, solo flight instructing, got all my ratings instructed, and then flew a little bit of night freight, got lucky when I was 21 and was flying a business jet, you know, for a corporation, and then hopped from there to the airlines by the time I was 24 and got lucky with the airline because I was 28 and I was a captain, you know, for a major airline. So that all worked out really well. And when I was flying corporate, when I was 21, our chief pilot said, hey, if the jet ever ends up upside down with the CEO on board, we want you to be able to turn it right side up without killing everyone. I thought, that makes sense to me. Went out in the aerobatic airplane, turned it upside down, and went, oh, this is the coolest thing ever. At that point, I could no longer care about straight and level flying. All I wanted to do was fly aerobatics, and that's what took me to the Red Bull Air Race.
Wow.
And that's what happened to the CEO of Yahoo.
Yeah. You know,
it's so sad. Yeah. Darn, I thought he'd live.
Those stocks never recovered since.
Yeah, that's right. You know? Yeah.
So you've done everything. So you've done the commercial, the flying. You've done small.
Right,
plane.
I'm still on the seniority list at Southwest. You know, they've been nice enough to give me a leave of absence to do what I want to do. But yeah, my, you know, I was a Czech airman even over there and Czech pilot. And yeah, I mean, so I've had a, I guess a pretty colorful career, but you know, I've made my living really probably for the last, probably the last 17, 18 years, you know, doing, well, as I say, people, they pay me to do stupid things in airplanes. So that's what I get paid to do. So if you'll go to like YouTube or whatever and just type my name in, you can go, wow, he does get paid to do stupid, crazy things in an airplane. So
what was your first stunt like? What, was it an air show? Was it part of Red Bull?
You mean as far as the first time that I got interested in aviation or the first? I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said.
I'm just wondering when you first got into like acrobatic flights.
Yeah, no, it wasn't even that. I mean, again, when, you know, I was flying corporate and the boss, you know, I mean, I'm 21 years old, you know, so you're up for anything. And he said, look, all my guys get aerobatic training. We're paying for your aerobatic training. We're going to. You're going to get aerobatic training in case a jet ever ends up upside down with the boss on board. And I mean, some of the other guys weren't as crazy about it, but when, so I would take their time. But I mean, literally the first time we rolled the airplane upside down and stopped it upside down and was flying upside down, I went, wow, this is what flying's all about, you know? And I mean, I was kind of already getting bored with straight and level flying, and I'm an adrenaline junkie. I skydive, I race motocross as a kid. I mean, I love speed and all that. So, you know, immediately it was like, now flying's three-dimensional. It's no longer two-dimensional, you know, and you can, you know, you have the freedom to basically, there's nothing more fun than taking an airplane, just ripping the guts out of it, you know? So, I mean, I love doing that stuff. So it's a lot of fun.
So where do you go first for now when you decide to go to aerobatics? Was it in air shows? Was it in races?
No, I mean, you know, basically, you know, when I was flying corporate, you know, we got a little bit of time that they would pay for. And then soon as, you know, I didn't make enough money to buy an airplane then. And, you know, I come from a pretty modest means. So, you know, I didn't have any money to do that. And as soon as I got on with the airlines, I had enough money that, you know, pretty quick, and that I could finance and, you know, an aerobatic airplane. And people always say, God, it's so expensive. Well, you know, back then, I mean, you could buy a Pitts S1S, which is a pretty nice aerobatic airplane, a biplane, you know, for $18,000. And even now you can buy one for $35,000 or $40,000. And I mean, the propeller on my airplane now costs $35,000 or $40,000, you know, so, you know, but again, so, you know, it's a different level, but again, you know, that, Pitt Special will teach you a lot. And I flew one of those for 10 years and just, you know, I mean, I flew air shows in it and did competition. And then, you know, when I decided, you know, that, it really wasn't a good competition airplane for Unlimited, I had to make the move to, you know, a higher tech monoplane and, you know, worked my ass off at the airlines in order to pay for that. And, you know, that's what I started doing and started winning. And when you start winning, then, you know, you can start picking up sponsors and more and winning more. And so, you know, one thing leads to another and pretty soon, you know, you do it for a living.
Yeah. So you, when you got into this air racing, did you start off with like a smaller team? Like how does that work as far as like entering?
The way that it started out is Peter Bessier, a friend of mine. I've been flying the World Grand Prix, and you know, from 1997 till 2005, you know, I was on the World Aerobatic Team. You know, I was lucky enough to get to represent the United States in international competition, and I was the captain of the team. And so this Hungarian Peter Bessier, who I'd gotten to know, we did a World Grand Prix over in China together, and he brought this can over, and you know, he was telling me about Red Bull. And anyway, when he got back, I was at the World Championships, Aerobatic Championships in 2003. He called me and he said, hey, you know, we're going to do this thing, and you go through these gates and blah, 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 and you do all this stuff. And, you know, and I said, man, I go, it sounds pretty cool. I said, but I'm supposed to perform at Oshkosh, you know, starting on Tuesday, and you're talking about this thing in Budapest on Sunday, and I don't want to be jet lagged, and I don't want to do it. Thanks a lot, but I don't want to go. So then I get a call, you know, the next day from Red Bull, and they said, hey, you know, we're doing this thing. We'd really like for you to come. And I said, you know, hey, I really do appreciate it, but, you know, I don't want to be all jet lagged. I got this thing. Well, each time they called me, they offered me more money to do this deal. And I didn't know at the time is that you had to be 1 through 15 in the world aerobatic standings to be invited. I was the only American at the time. And if I went, it was an international event. If I didn't go, it was a European event. And so had I known that, I probably would have let them call a few more times. But finally, I'm like, who am I kidding? I guess I can be bought. Here we go. So I went over, and when I got over there, I went, wow, this is the coolest thing ever. I mean, I loved low level. I've been doing low level display flying. I mean, I love speed, you know. So you're back then, there was very few rules. You just did whatever you wanted. And, you know, we were going, you know, 230 miles an hour, a few feet off the ground, you know, pulling 12 G's or whatever you wanted to pull in order to make the next gate, and gates whizzing by. And I was like, this is cool. I ended up being third in that. And then, you know, Red Bull, they wanted to bring it to the United States. And since I had won the Nationals, I think even then, I don't know, three or four times or five, I don't remember what it was, but however many times, and I was the current national champion, then I was the guy that, you know, they said, hey, can you help us bring it over? And I'm like, sure, you know, so, and that's how my association and everything, you know, one thing led to another, and here you are. You know, that was in 2003.
Jeez. Now, like, my partner here is really into NASCAR, and I was never into NASCAR. We did, like, a couple podcasts with some NASCAR and IndyCar, and you realize how much of a team sport it really is, which was pretty eye-opening for me. Is the air racing similar? Like, do we not realize how much goes?
It's exactly the same, except a little bit smaller teams. Like, I own the team. I own the airplane, you know, and everybody goes, how do you get, you know, well, I have, let's see, we have four of these airplanes. So, you know, and we've got one that's dedicated to racing, then I do display flying and another one, and one that I send to China, and then we have a media plane. So they, you know, they get shipped around. But yeah, so I own the team, and then Red Bull is my particular sponsor, you know, not for all the teams they are. I mean, you got Breitling, you got Hamilton, you know, and so on and so forth. And so, you know, basically the pilot, or there's a team owner, and then, you know, we're, you know, you have a sponsor. And it's a lot like NASCAR. My team is not as big. We have five people that are full-time, and then we've got part-time people too. We've got an aeronautical engineer, and, you know, we work on modifying the airframe. The engine's kind of standardized, so it's got to be within 2%. And we're always modifying the airframes, trying to make them a little bit faster. And, yeah, so, I mean, it mirrors that. It probably even mirrors Formula One more because – you know, I mean, I honestly, to just say, you know, a lot of the things I think, you know, that they copied, you know, they're Europeans are familiar with Formula One. That's what they copied.
What kind of rule sets do they have in these air races that you got to abide to when it comes to the setup of the plane and items like that?
Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, I'm sure it was the same way with Formula One and NASCAR too. You know, you start off with a little bitty tiny rule book, and then pretty soon, you know, you've got this, you know, huge, you know, set of rules, and it's happened to us too. I mean, you know, as far as to just make it simple, I mean, put it in its simplest form, you know, I mean, you've got to go between these gates. You have to be wings level when you actually go through the gate. And I mean, when I say go through, I mean, while you're in between those two pylons, myself being the point of reference, my wings need to be level. If they're more than 20 degrees banked through there, then I'm going to incur a 2-second penalty, which, since I've seen all, you know, 14 of us within a half a second, 2 seconds is going to wipe you out. So you've got to have the wings level during that portion of it. We're allowed to go over 10 G's, but used to be 12. Now it's 10. We're allowed to go over 10, but it has to be less than 6/10 of a second. You have to be back under the 10. So there's that. And then our start speed is limited to 230 miles an hour. And that's, and then after that, you know, we can open up the throttle. And usually you're not going to be any faster than that because you're constantly knocking energy out of the airplane. Every time you pull G's, you know, you're knocking energy out of the airplane. So basically, in order to turn the airplane, you're going to have to pull G's. And so on a track that turns all the time, very rarely would you get above that 230 mile an hour start speed.
Wow. Now, where you guys do these races, is it like on an airfield? Like, what kind of space is it?
No, we can, you know, the two in the States have been here just recently. They've been at the motor speedways. I mean, and, you know, this year also in the States, it'll be at the Indianapolis 500, and we land there on the track, and everything's right there on the track. And
really?
Our track is set up on that. It was at NASCAR track in Vegas, and we've also done the one down, you know, Texas Motor Speedway in Dallas. And we do the one in Germany, is usually at a motor speedway. And so it can be there, or, you know, we've done it downtown New York, you know, right next to the Statue of Liberty, you know, so we, so they can put the pylons on, you know, water. A lot of times if it's going to be downtown, then it's going to be in the water because, you know, you've got to have some sort of a flat area, and usually that is where there's water, and that's why they didn't build a bunch of skyscrapers down there, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, now, are you guys coming back to New York at all, or?
Not New York. We'll be at, this time it's going to be Indy, and well, actually, we go to Abu Dhabi, and then we come right back, and we're going to have a race in San Diego. They're getting ready to announce the schedule, but I'll tell you right now, it'll be in San Diego, and then the other race in the States will be in Indy. Strong rumor that we're going to Acapulco also.
Nice.
And then the rest of them will be in Europe and Japan.
I would love to see one live. Now, you are married, correct?
Correct.
I've been dealing with your wife. Very nice. And she's been dealing with me and annoying her with emails to get you on. But
I'm surprised she didn't pass you over. Usually she passes you over to our team coordinator, Kayla. Were you talking to Kelly or to Kayla?
Kelly?
Oh, well, yeah, you're right.
She likes me.
Nice. I guess she likes you.
But being married and being a pilot in a, let's say, it's a pretty extreme sport, fast. Obviously, you have a wealth of knowledge and experience, but does she still get nervous watching you race, or how that strain the relationship, or is she just a supporter?
You know, yeah, all these stuff. I mean, quite honestly, I mean, if you want to go to the dark side, as they say. I mean, you know, over the years, and we've been married a long time, I mean, I'm just conservatively going to say I probably had 100 friends that are killed, jeez, you know, doing it. So to say that she doesn't think about it, I'm sure that she does. I mean, as a matter of fact, we had a really good friend of mine just recently that was killed, and his daughter's the same age as mine, and so it really brings things home, and they've grown up together, and we'd been friends forever. So, you know, especially in a situation like that. But, I mean, you know, it's just what I do. I mean, honestly, you know, I skydive. I do things like that. I just did three base jumps off of a bridge. And she has to ask, you know, I just have to excuse my French. Hopefully you're not recording this. If you are, you can edit it out. She just said, you know, let me ask you, how many fucking different ways do you need to try to kill yourself? And I'm like, okay. Sort of get that, you know.
Yeah, so anytime she's like, Kirby, come on. Yeah. Come
on. Really. So the base jumping thing was kind of like, okay. So I did three of them. I'm going to do one more off of a mountaintop in Norway maybe this year. And then I'm going to retire from base jumping. But, okay. Yeah, so, you know, I guess.
A real,
you know,
gentleman.
Anything else, you just get used to it, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I love that kind of stuff. And, I mean, if I wasn't doing that, I wouldn't be me, right? I mean, she married me. I've been doing this. I was doing it before, you know, we got married, so it's kind of what you do.
He'll probably end up dying by a kite, as we talked about earlier.
Oh, yeah. we read an article about guys who died by a kite recently.
In India.
Yeah. I mean, everything, you know, I tell people, you know, I try not to go out and do anything stupid. I mean, life's a risk. You know, if you're really hungry and there's a McDonald's across the street, and you got to cross the street, which actually, even if you eat McDonald's, you're probably
going to say McDonald's, you know, is probably more dangerous.
Yourself anyway.
Rather base jump.
Yeah, but processed food. But anyway, so you've got to, you know, cross the street. Now, what you do is you try to be calculated. You look both ways. You don't just cross it, right? You look both ways, and no traffic coming, you cross the street. But it's a risk, you know, and everything's a risk. Right. I mean, life is a risk, and you know, I've also believed that you got to enjoy yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love skydiving, and I, you know, I actually think that's pretty safe. But I mean, it's like anything. If you work at it, you can definitely kill yourself doing it. And, you know, it's one of those things. But yeah, so we try not to dwell on it. I try to be, I would guess I'm probably more conservative, a little bit more conservative, you know, since I have a kid. I mean, that's what I worry about more than anything else. Not so much me, but, you know, her. So, you know, but I, you know, it's still my job. And, you know, people go, what do you worry about? You know, you're thinking about this when you're racing. And I go, I'm thinking about what is the fastest way to get from this gate to the next gate. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm thinking about, you know? So that's what you do. And, you know, it's anybody that, you know, does, I wouldn't say just risky sports, but I mean, just, you know, if you're a race car driver, I mean, you may hit the wall, you know, I mean, if you race motorcycles, I mean, everything's like that. So.
Now, as you are a pilot and an owner, how hard is it to balance the competitiveness with the business side of it?
It's extremely difficult because, you know, you're always, I mean, you know, you also, you're a business owner, right? And your business needs to make money. So, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, you've got to, the business has to be profitable. So, you know, you go, man, do I want to spend, $500,000 on modifications, and I'm going to end up being, so you have to balance everything because, to win, it costs money, and this is no different, there's other things. It's not the only thing, but, if you can be the best jockey in the world. If you're on a slow horse, all you do is beat the horse more. It doesn't go any faster. And these airplanes are the same way. So you've always got to try to have a really good horse, too. And having a really good horse costs money.
Now, Kirby, take us back to 2013. I read an article. You had an accident. You had a crash, right? And it was 2013 at an air show.
Like I said, a race car is long enough, you hit the wall. Yeah.
No,
I've had a couple of those, What's really cool, though, is that when you go to talk to kids and all that, in grade school or whatever, they're like, have you ever crashed? And I'm like, yeah, matter of fact. And most guys don't get an opportunity to say that. So it's kind of, they love it.
Yeah. So what exactly happened? Was this like, this was during practice?
The last one, El Salvador, I do a Cobra maneuver and what they call high alpha, where you're just hanging on the propeller. And the airplane, if you can just click on any video and you probably see me doing it. But anyway, there's pictures of the airplane where it's really, just a few feet off the ground, basically vertical, and you're just walking it out. And I was in El Salvador practicing for an air show doing it and just gone down the runway and just left the runway. Well, there's a big drop off. It drops off into a valley about, it's just like two mountains come together. There's no flat piece. It's all trees. And I'd just gone off the runway, hanging on the propeller. And then about that time, the engine just went and just shut down. So I basically lost a governor. Well, so now you're zero airspeed. And if you know anything about flying, well, you need airspeed to fly. So all you can do is I dumped the nose, loaded the airplane, just got it flying. And then all I could say is left wing into that tree. I probably had from the time it happened until I hit the tree 10 seconds maybe.
Jeez.
But I just got the airplane flying. If you let it fall, for sure you're going to die. I was able to get the airplane flying. And then instead of taking the tree straight in, I took one, hit the left wing, caught another tree with the right wing, took the tail off of it. All I did was bruise my arm. So I was like,
wow.
But, so that's all you can do. You can be, really, really good. And if you don't have the motor, it doesn't fly for very long.
Wow.
So, but
God.
Yeah, so shit happens, So yeah. Again, you can go, oh my God, oh my, you just do what you can do. And again, I had a really bad bruise on my right arm where when I hit the left wing, it slammed me in the fuselage, into the side of the tubes. And then I hit the right wing, and instead of taking one really big hit, which probably would have killed me for sure, I took three smaller ones, I was fortunate. People would go, man, you're really lucky. I'm going, actually really lucky it wouldn't quit. Sort of lucky you lived through them all, So, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, no, similar to with the NASCAR and whatnot, you just learn how, these guys are in great shape, a lot of them, and whatnot. They got to keep themselves in a certain shape. Is it similar with pilots, too? You got to keep yourself in...
Yeah, if you think about, I don't know about NASCAR, but I can tell you, I've not ridden in a NASCAR, but I've ridden in a IndyCar twice, at high speed, and mm-hmm. they're taking about 3.5 lateral Gs. Well, we see 10 Gs all the time, but it's different. Jeez. It's pushing you in the seat. And I'm doing also the kind of flying that I do in air show or display or competition, my G range might be plus 10 minus 8. And so that's an 18 G span in there. And so, you got to be in good shape. I think just being in good physical shape is good no matter what.
Right,
so, I work out and, I don't run as much as I used to run every day. And now, after it happens, your knees start to go, I don't like that so much. So I don't do that. But, I lift weights and do cardio stuff. And, you just have to. And it definitely makes a difference. And so, yeah, you need to be in physical shape in order to do this.
Now, with you having a sponsor like Red Bull, they've been known to be a part of a lot of extreme sports. Like, what kind of a partner are they to you? Is it...
I can't say enough about Red Bull. Honestly, because, people are always like, I'm like, Red Bull truly does wings. Without Red Bull, I mean, I wouldn't have the wings. And they've been, you know, my sponsor for 13 years, and they've been fantastic. So when I started, it was like almost all extreme sports. Hell, they sponsor golf now. You know, I don't really think that of an extreme sport. So, you know, yeah, they're into everything. But, you know, for me, I mean, yeah, it's been fantastic.
That's awesome. Now, what is, before we get out here, what's in the future for you? Like, what are we looking forward to? Are you trying anything new? Like, what's going on?
You know, again, I do a lot of display flying, just to tell you my schedule. So I flew 16 events or 16 air shows in the United States, 3 in Mexico, 3 in China, and 8 air races. So my team and I, we were gone, I think, right at 270 days last year.
Wow.
So
yeah,
we stay really busy. And then in the off season, what are we trying to do? We're working on the airplane, trying to modify it or training or whatever. So it's always busy. There's no such thing as an off season. Our off season last time was 6 weeks. It's like, wow, it used to be longer, but and that's it, you know. So what we're always trying to do is, you know, I love to win. I mean, I've been fortunate enough that I've won a bunch, and you know, but I've lost too, and so I like the winning better. So that's what we're always trying to do. And you know, and so there, it's that's what I hope to be looking forward to this year. We had a really good year last year. I mean, we had a technical thing that took us out in Indy. Up until that point, we were third in the series. And then we would have even made it back up in Vegas, except that we were the second fastest, and they had two more guys to fly, and the winds were blowing 35 knots, and they couldn't keep the gates up. So
that happened recently, right?
Yeah,
I think that
might
have been the one I was watching, where they had to shut it down, right?
Yeah, we were the second fastest, and we just needed two more guys to fly, because normally they go through all these elimination rounds, but they wouldn't have, only because this was going to be it. But you can't call it a full round unless everybody has a chance to fly. And we had two more, and they always just like, come on, hold the gates up. But, you know, they couldn't. I mean, you know, 35 knots, I mean, you're trying to hold this, you know, 65-foot gate up, and they're just blowing up, you know.
I think that was the one I was watching on TV, because I remember they shut it down early.
Yeah, that would have put us easily back into either fourth or third, depending on how it all shook out. And instead, we finished eighth, you know, which sucked. But we had a really good year up until those last two races. And just the technical thing that we had was, you know, you're not allowed to go over 2950 RPM. And on takeoff, you know, we lost part of the thing that's controlling the governor, and my propeller went around 4 extra times, you know, which just doesn't do anything. But that's a technical disqualification. We had just made the round 8, and they came to us and said, actually, you didn't make the round 8. You've been disqualified. We were like, holy shit, couldn't believe it. And that really hurts.
So it literally, by propeller spins 4 times? That's, wow.
Yep. So, yeah, and it was something that we had something, you know, it's a thing on our propeller that when we pull G's, you know, it tells the blade to, you know, go ahead, and it allows the governor to turn the propeller just a little bit faster, because you lose it in a turn at a high G. And so that particular thing has one little bitty screw that holds that on. It's, you know, and believe it or not, that it backed out. It's not the thing that holds the propeller. And so it just allowed it that little bit extra in order to be able to go around. And we're not even aware of it. You know, the rest of the time the propeller was way back. Actually, it was hurting us instead of making things better, but it didn't matter, because that's a rule's a rule. And they came to us and said, you're out.
Yeah. Real quick. Are all the races, is it like different track? Like, are they completely different?
Everything. Okay. I mean, imagine this too. I mean, I tell people, especially on the water, it's a living, breathing track. I mean, you know, think about it. I mean, these things, you know, you have two big, huge sails on a barge. You know, I mean, it's a sail, right? I mean, it's 65 feet up in the air, and they're on this barge, and the tide goes in, the tide goes out. Imagine telling a NASCAR guy, hey, while you're not paying attention, what we're going to do is we're going to turn your track 20 degrees this way and 20 back over the other way. Well, that's what happens.
New sport.
I mean, I've looked up and literally went, holy shit, I mean, how am I going to get through there now? You know, because, you know, it's changed a little bit. So, you know, the wind blows. I mean, yeah, every track is, even from day to day, it's different. And you just have to make adjustments for that. Also, the wind, even from one person runs or the other, I mean, it can easily make a half of a second. You know, if the wind blows now, it doesn't, you know. It's, and that's just, you know, part of the, there's a certain amount of luck. You know, if you have the good condition when you go out. You know, you're going to maybe be faster than the next guy only because, you know, you had the right wind and he didn't, or vice versa.
Sorry. Which, if people like want to check you out, or they want to check out like Red Bull team, or they want to check out the air racing, what's the best place to go?
For my website is just teamchambliss.com, and you can, you know, or you can just type my name in on anything, Google or whatever, right, and they all come up anyway. So have you guys seen any of the videos or anything, any of this stuff? I don't know if you've looked at any of the websites or any of that kind of stuff.
I've looked a few of your videos this week. You're a crazy man.
The one that everybody really likes is just Catch Kirby. You type that in where the police are chasing me in Dallas through the downtown. It was cool because we got 831 911 calls. I thought that was kind of funny.
But, how many?
831. Yeah, I mean, we were legal, and you know, we had a waiver and everything to do it, but nobody had told the 911 operators, I guess the feds or the locals hadn't done it. Again, I thought it was pretty funny, but you'll see flying downtown and, you know, then under this bridge and then all through downtown. And, you know, again, it was all set up to do it. And but, you know, just the communications, I think, amongst somebody else, not our team, broke down. And so...
Some Texas sheriff has got his fist in the air just looking at your plane. Dang you, Kirby!
Well, the whole police, you know, the whole thing with the police coming around, just type it in. It self-explains. Just Catch Kirby. It'll come up. So it's pretty funny.
Awesome. Kirby, I want to thank you so much for popping on.
Yeah,
for
no
a few
worries.
Minutes.
Glad talking to you guys, man. You have a good evening, okay?
Yeah, it was great. Can
if
you do
need,
me
need anything, or if you want to run any kind of, I don't know what even what you're doing with it, whether it's a, you know, but if you need any kind of proof thing or whatever, you just send it to Kelly sure, or somebody, and you know.
So, yeah, well, this will probably be up like next week, probably Tuesday. And okay. I'll send her the link and all that stuff.
Super.
It's just
okay. Make me sound smart and intelligent and good looking and all that. Okay.
I ask him to do that for me every week and he doesn't do it.
Listen, I can't afford that type of technology. It's not even out yet.
And I have something more in common with him. We're birthday buddies.
You guys are birthday buddies?
October 18th.
Wow.
Nice. Hey, way to go, right?
Yeah,
Libra, right? We're easy going, cool guys and all that.
Yeah,
exactly.
Obviously, there's something wrong with that day. No.
All right. Well, you guys have a good evening. Take care.
All right. That's cool.
Yeah. You figure one PR person called the cops. FYI, there's a plane coming to downtown Dallas. Yeah. Leave it alone.
Yeah, it's just amazing. I think, like I said, we are pretty much at this point, we're like the adventure podcast. We live our lives through people who do much more manlier things than we do.
Manlier than fixing phones in Minnesota?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going
to
call.
Hard to believe.
We got Mike someone's going to call you one day. Can we get you on the podcast? We heard your working phone.
There was one time I dropped the receiver, man. Oh, people in China were pissed.
One time I was working out in the -11 degree Minnesota weather. It was insane. Yeah. The whole department went down.
Mm-hmm.
Phone lines were down. It was chaos.
I had to hit the digits a couple more times, man. The 9 wasn't going through. I'm like, damn you.
The amount of G's I was experiencing was insane. But Kirby Chambliss, very awesome.
The other G love.
I was thinking the same thing when he said, I'm like, you're like 10G love, but he would probably not get that or appreciate that. But yeah, I mean, it's just amazing some of the people.
Calls up. I'm on this podcast too.
You know what's funny? Like talking to the guys like that, who's obviously a very intelligent dude. I think pilots amaze me, like just hearing them talk. But I don't know. What else is going on, buddy?
Little interesting story out of India.
India!
Yes, yes. It's got three people yesterday died. They died.
I feel like that's not weird news for India.
Well, they had their throat sliced.
Throat slices?
Yeah.
I love those. They're delicious. Okay, so they had their throat sliced.
Yes. You want to guess what sliced their throat?
What sliced your throat? Okay, yeah, sure. Oh, I could just... okay.
Oh, you want me to just say it?
All right, let me think. can I ask you yes or no questions?
Sure.
All right. I'll try 10 questions.
Let's do it.
Is the object a cooking utensil?
Incorrect.
Okay. Is the object found in nature?
Incorrect.
Oh, okay. Is the object used in sport?
It's a gray area, but I'll say yes.
Okay. Is the object made of metal?
Incorrect.
Okay. Is the object something like, is the object like related to India, like of Indian culture?
It's a gray area in the sense that, like, as I discussed with Rakesh on this story, he said this is done as part of their festivals, but I wouldn't say you would naturally say yes to that answer.
Ooh, all right, that doesn't help. Is this object living?
No.
Does this object, can this object be found in the United States?
Yes.
Was this object, was this object used by a person to cut the throats?
Yes.
Ooh, okay. I'm at, what's that, seven I'm at?
Eight.
Eight. Oh, two more. is this object a tool of any, a tool?
No.
Does this object? Could I buy this object?
Yes.
Is the object a hockey stick?
No.
Damn. All right, give it to me.
Three people got their throat sliced by a kite.
A kite?
Kite strings.
Kite string, like the string that a kite is attached to.
Yes, apparently, as part of their festivals, they do kite fighting, where you fly kites.
Right, and they try to knock. They try to
cut the.
Right, I've heard kite of that before.
Out of the air, and the string is made with glass in it. So as this person was flying the kite, it kind of did not go as high as expected. Sliced one kid who was sticking out his head of a sunroof.
All right.
Sliced two other patrons and killed them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Why the hell is the string?
It's made of glass material because their kite fighting is, okay, all the kites are in the air. My goal is to cut your kite away.
Oh, okay. So you lose your kite.
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was like to put like holes in it so it would like,
no.
Okay. So did these people die?
Yes, their throats were slit from the razor sharp string, and they died from a kite.
Oh man,
so
that's a great way to go.
Well, that made me kind of wonder, there, Scott.
I wonder.
What is more embarrassing than dying from a kite?
What is more embarrassing?
So I got a list here of a few items here. I want you to tell me, would you rather be known as a guy who died by a kite or this item?
All right, just let me get you some tunes that are appropriate for the occasion.
Are you ready, Scott? Would you rather die from a kite or a jar of marshmallow fluff?
Oh, are we hearing this through the headphones?
I can hear my headphones.
All right. Go fly a kite. All right. So let's go fly a kite. So, okay. Marshmallow fluff or a kite?
A jar of marshmallow fluff or a kite?
I'd rather die by kite.
By kite. Mm-hmm. Are you saying it's more embarrassing?
Fluff is more embarrassing. Okay. Kite, at least I'm doing kite fighting. Like, it at least sounds somewhat manly, I guess.
All right. Would you rather die by a kite or a bocce ball?
A kite or a bocce ball? Kite.
Kite again.
Kite again.
Mm. Would you rather die by a kite or the world's fattest man?
I'd rather die by the kite. I don't want my family knowing the world's fattest man killed me. Like, that's
we told him to move.
That's pretty
he
terrible.
He had ample time to get out of the way. Would you rather die by a kite or a slinky?
A kite or a slinky? Kite.
Kite again.
Yeah. All these seem almost worse than dying by a kite. At least like my brother could explain, like, yeah, he was doing fighting kites, you know, like it sound, at least it sounds like it has some edge to it. You know, like a slinky? Would I hang myself with it? Like, that's bad.
I didn't know how it worked. It went down my throat.
Exactly. He was trying this weird digestion thing he's been working on.
Would you rather die by a kite or a sloth?
Sloth.
We have a new leader.
Sloth for sure. At least it's like a wild animal. He died by sloth bite. Something. This seems a little more cool than a kite, I think. Yeah.
All right. So I guess so. Should I keep on saying kite or now bring the sloth into it?
Oh, so sloth takes over
kite. Okay.
Whatever you want, buddy.
All right. Would you rather die by sloth or a wacky sprinkler?
Now, before we go on, you really have to let me know what a wacky sprinkler.
You know, the ones where it has like multiple arms and it shoots out water in different directions.
So that would like
you kind of like the wacky inflatable man. You know, they kind of look like that, but they.
So in your definition, you see the sprinklers are like, wow, those are wacky.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're known as wacky.
Okay, so it's sloth or wacky sprinkler.
Yeah.
Sloth.
Or if you want to throw kite into it, I don't care. Well, between the three, kite wins there.
A sloth. I'd rather die by a sloth.
Okay. Sloth or a menorah?
Oh, definitely. I would never hear Doug Max. All our Jewish friends would be like, no, sloth.
And sloth or a selfie stick?
100% sloth or anything on those lists.
Uh-huh. Would that be the most embarrassing, a selfie stick?
Selfie stick would be at the very, very bottom because that's as embarrassing. Like, I'm just trying to think of like the scenarios. Like, you're holding, you get struck by lightning, you stab yourself with it.
Get a closer shot.
Yeah, it goes through your heart or something. There's no scenario. First off, the sight of a selfie stick makes me cringe.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's one of the douchiest looking things out there. So sloth, out of all those.
And finally, sloth or a DVD set of the Gilmore Girls.
I feel like sloth because the DVD set of the Gilmore Girls would be a slow, painful death.
So there you have it. Scott Brennan, rest in peace because of a sloth.
Here lies Scott, death by sloth. Or what's his name? Who did I pick in that death tournament?
John Glenn.
Oh, yeah, John Glenn.
Would you rather die by a sloth or John Glenn?
John Glenn, man.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
The one guy that...
Zombie John Glenn?
Or what's his name? Kimbo Slice. Slice. That'd be great. I'd be one of his victims. I don't know what's going on with me lately, but I feel really dumb. Like,
okay.
Like, you ever feel like just... I don't know. You can't think of something. You can't think of a name of something. You can't... Uh-huh. Like, even on stage the last couple of times... Like, sets have been fine lately, but like I feel like there's this brain to mouth like disconnect where I'm like what did you just say? Like, yeah. I'll listen back, like, what was that? Was that even a word? Like,
I'd go downstairs to the hot water, cooler.
No, but like,
is that what I got?
A mixed fumble in lines, and I mean, like Tierney's was a good show the other night, it was actually packed. It was good because it was for that pet rescue company that I put them in touch with that we did at Tap House.
Nice.
So it was pretty much filled up. I'm hosting, I'm doing fine, and I go to do the dog bit I do, and I just mixed up like four jokes into one, and I like at the end I'm like, and I say like the punchline that didn't even go with the joke before it, and I'm like, you guys ready for a good show tonight? Like, and like, I get off the stage, and Natty's like, awesome job. He's like, you flubbed that last line? I'm like, yeah, man. Like, real bad. But it's just like, I don't know. I felt really like my brain is just like mashed potatoes. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's just like winter. I don't know. You ever feel like that before?
Yeah, I mean.
No, I never feel
that. Yeah. Sure.
You want half of that? Want some of this?
Sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
It comes from time to time if like work. If you're just like phoning in work or something like that, or going into something just half-assed, it happens from time to time, you know. And yeah. It could be I wouldn't say it's a weather, at least this time of year, because like when we get like a foot of snow and you're calling the house and your brain is going a mile a minute, going, I gotta do something.
Listen, bro, I'm just trying to find a reason why I'm done. Well, I'm done. See, I just said I'm done. I said I can't even say the word dumb.
Really? Are you done?
That sums it all up.
So, Scott, why don't you tell the podcast audience how you're done?
Like, I don't know, man. Like, I feel like my mouth is not matching my brain. Like, like it's just on autopilot.
Yeah, we'll continue with that. Yeah.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. It's really good for the podcast, too, when your mouth is not connected to your brain.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I don't know. It's like, also, like, with my material, like, I'm trying to write new things, and then I write these new things that I really like, and then I go up and I just forget that I wanted to do the new things. Like, I'm like, well, why didn't you do that? Like, there's no excuse for it. But I don't know. Maybe it's just a funk or something. I don't know. Got to break through it. Maybe take some like some of those like Asian like supplements or something to like really
ginseng.
Yeah, I don't know. Something's got to happen. Okay. But like I've been walking the dog like crazy lately in the woods, whether it's Joe or just by myself or with Alex or none. And like the whole time, I'm just trying to like, gotta get my mind together here. Like I'm trying to like go over material and things like, I don't know if it's because I've been really, really busy. That might be because like between the podcast and these shows and I don't know, just like a million different and work and I don't know, like next week, I know my dad's got his other knee replaced.
Oh, no kidding.
So,
did it go, or was it something they knew was coming?
He's been wearing those knees down for as long as I can remember. He's got to get it done. He wants to retire this year.
What exactly did they do? Did they replace like the kneecap or what?
Yeah, basically, like from what I understand, what I've read, like and looked at, like they take the kneecap out and they basically it's like a metal kneecap, and then they shave like I'm doing it with my fingers for. Yeah. They shave like the bone on the top, and they shave the bone so like your femur and your tibia. And it almost, like, inserts and, like, bolts in, and then inserts and bolts in on the top, and then you have the kneecap, and then they got to reconnect the muscles. It's crazy.
Wow.
It's crazy. So he had the other
one. I would just go in a wheelchair. Yeah. That seems simpler. I'm done. Just push me. I'm good. Drag me up to stage, Scott. Yeah.
But, I mean, it was a tough story. He's nervous as hell. He had the other one done 2 years ago or three. But he's going to try to retire in December. He don't owe that company anything. I said, Dad, you got to get it done before you're paying Medicare and paying out the ass for a surgery. Like, they cover it all. You got to get it done. Take your 6 months, 4 months, 5 months, whatever it is to recover, and then ride your retirement to December, and you're out of there. You know, like,
try not to be too political, but after the 20th, it'll be, we'll at least be interested to see what happens. So you might, if you got plans to get out and you got the opportunity, take it. I'd say,
wow, what's happening on the 20th?
I don't know, some dude's putting his hand on a Bible and saying some stuff.
I mean,
granted, this is released on what, the 25th?
Yeah, we're gonna put this out next week.
Yeah.
I can't even, my, again, with my dumbness, my newfound dumbness is my disease.
Let me tell you about my best friend, dumbness.
I have officially shut down from politics. Like, I was trying, kind of interested during the election. We talk a little bit here and there on the podcast about it. I'm so out of it. I can't, like, Facebook, like, I just read these, both sides of the argument. It's just like, liberals, I just want to be like, guys, he won. Let's get over it. Let's stop complaining and boycotting everything. Because it's not going to change. So what happened to, like, shaking it off and, like, working towards, you know?
How about let him make the mistake, then you can complain?
Right, exactly. Like, let him fail, which most likely he's going to. He's a lunatic. He's still just a lunatic. Like, he's tweeting about The Apprentice. He's like, like, what Saturday are you? Night you're Live. The president of the United States, and you're worried about the ratings of The Apprentice? And Saturday Night Live, which every president ever has been made fun of on Saturday Night Live. It's just part of the game. And, like, the fact that he still even involves himself in that stuff is like, come on. Like, you would think, like, his PR people would tie him down, but I guess
basically nothing. Here's the prayer. He takes care of the business stuff, making the deals with the other countries. Pence does all the political stuff. And the Republicans kind of sit back and go, okay, we got this on our own for 2 years. Let's make sure when our terms are up, they'll reelect us again.
Yeah.
That's what they got to concentrate on. For the liberals, it's just kind of like you sit back.
Let's move forward.
I agree. I'm not a fan of this answer, but this is the answer right now. Let it go out. And if he shits a brick, then we start complaining and start looking for that new Democrat.
Like, listen.
Or third party.
Democrats and liberals, a lot of them, are all about progress and moving forward. I get it. This guy, he's a blip on the radar, hopefully. Hopefully it's a, ooh, what the hell happened there for 4 years? But you got to move forward. Let's go, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's start to move forward. Like, nothing extreme has happened yet, okay? Healthcare might be a little interesting if they try to take that away.
Yep.
But, like, I get it. I get it, like, gays and things like that are panicking. But I really don't think – Pence is the guy I would worry about with that kind of stuff, like women's rights and equal rights stuff. Trump is definitely, like – this sucks. How did I get into this? And now he's like trying to figure out. Now it's like damage control. Like, let's, okay, now I got to figure out what to do here. Because, like I said, he's like, he's like the guy that just got, he caught fire and he knows how to work a room. And he just.
Yeah. It's like that popular fifth grader who won the election in school. And then he's kind of like, what do you mean I got to stay after school? And,
yeah, I got to come during recess.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Can I just be a hall monitor?
Right. It's like, like a comedian, like certain comics get big off of something like YouTube videos or something like that, right? And they're not ready for the spotlight. Then maybe they put out a special and then they go, oh crap, I got to come up with new material. Like, they're not these seasoned veterans. Like Vic DiBattista, right? He's been in the business for 30 years or something like that. And he hit big on those bread and milk videos. And this guy, he's got material for, he's been working for 25 years as a comic. He's ready for the spotlight. He can do whatever, you know, like, it's good to see a guy like that succeed, like the Jersey guy, like just started making funny videos. Boom, success. Like, I feel like if today I hit big on some dumb video, I'd be, you know, like, like, we want you to do a half hour special of me. I'd be like, guys, I suffer from dumbness.
Yeah. I'll take it.
I suffer from dumbness. It's a disease. But I don't know.
You keep saying that. Get out there. You'll be fine.
I like how we just went from my dumbness to my dad's knee to Donald Trump. Like, natural progression right there. But, I don't know. You got anything else?
No. Getting ready for my Minnesota cherry to be popped.
The old Minnesota cherry. Oh, those cherries. Mm. But, real quick, did you...
I want to nickname one of the Timberwolves players. Oh, that's the Minnesota Cherry out there.
did you see Always Sunny's first two episodes?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good start.
First one was great. Yep. Second one was all right. I mean, the Frank stuff was funny. I wasn't huge on the other stuff.
Yeah, it was okay.
I loved the ending. And no, it's age water!
Let's just hold on a minute while he barks that out while the pizza man is coming.
Go on. Continue, Obi.
I like how Alex has to say, he's a friend, like the dog. Yeah. Like, oh, okay, I'll stop barking.
Yeah. The strange dog that keeps barking at me, I believe. Yes.
He's a friend. Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good thing about Callie. She doesn't bark. I mean, she does jump a little bit.
Obi only barks when someone's coming to the door, really. And then occasionally he'll do like the UPS truck. UPS is like his mortal enemy. That brown truck always pulls up because he's like, oh! Like, it's like every ounce of energy goes into that bellow.
Every bad thing that happened to him came from UPS. Yeah.
But yeah, Always Sunny, I think, was a good start. It was, I rewatched the water one. It was pretty,
It was pretty good. The especially the
animal. I got AIDS. Mac, not the gay AIDS.
And Mac on the little filter at the end, like putting his butt on top of it with a smile.
I didn't do it for me just because it was. I saw it coming so much. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like after you bring up the joke four times, it's like, yeah, it's gonna end on that. But
yeah, it was funny. So far, so good in my opinion. And then I watched the premiere of Taboo with Ed Hardy.
Haven't seen that.
Not
yet.
Ed Hardy. See.
Tom Hardy.
Tom Hardy. Yeah. Again, I suffer from terminal dumbness. I'm dumb. I'm no longer. At one point, I thought I was a semi-intelligent man. Somehow, either coffee's rotting my brain away, or being around you has done something.
Well, that would smarten you.
That's true. You are. You did score 20% on the pilot exam.
I did.
I don't know, but I don't know what it is. Maybe it's. I started Game of Thrones. Did you watch that?
I haven't watched it. I mean,
I put it off forever because the cumbersome task of watching like six seasons. That's why I like to give things a shot like early on because when there's like five seasons or six seasons, it's pretty like this cumbersome thing. Like,
and
oh,
you can't tell anybody that you're watching it because then everybody will tell you every spoiler that ever occurred.
But me and Alex were pretty. We started it. We're pretty into it. It's pretty good. But also that like. You have to focus. There's like 9 million characters. You know, so you have to focus.
Well, luckily they kill off 6 million of them in the first episode.
Oh yeah, pretty much everyone dies. But it's actually very good. I do like it. I'm actually looking forward to after this watching an episode or two. But it is that's a good one. So yeah, TV is so good now. It's in like it's there's almost no need for a movie. There's so many good between Netflix and HBO and Showtime. Like
I see Bryan Cranston's coming back on a Netflix. Or is it? No, it's Amazon.
Oh, he's on a new series?
Yeah.
I know he has a new movie, too. Not the one with... he did some
why kind, him?
He did some kind of like buddies movie. You know, like the typical, like, I don't get along with my son-in-law.
Why him, it was called, that, with James Franco.
There you go. But yeah, there's... Everyone tell... Like, every time I go walking with, like, Joe Fernandez in the woods, it's like... Hey, did you see this? I'm like, no. And then I hear someone, hey, did you try this? And I believe everybody that these are all good series because the quality is like ridiculous. You have to be good now. It's like the best problem of options.
But that's kind of why you see notice more shows, they hit like 5, 6, 7 years and they go, we're done. Because they know after they hit that mark, it's going to be near impossible to keep up the quality. And you don't want to be known as a show that, was so great and then.
I think it's even smaller than that now. I think it's like a lot of the series are, they're going to tell the story. And when it's done, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I think Better Call Saul will probably be like 3 seasons. I don't think
did
that's going to go
forever.
Did you see
the preview for the next
season? No, I still have to finish the second season. Yeah. I'm so behind in everything.
Well, the teaser, if you will, is a commercial for Los Pollos Hermanos.
Oh, boy.
Where, was his name?
The Chicken Man.
Yeah.
Gus?
Gus, yeah. Where he just comes down, you'll love my curly fries. And it was just so, he's back!
Yeah. I still have to finish season two. Because before I moved in here, I didn't really have, like, on demand and stuff like that. And... So I got to finish that.
DVR is kind of going away because everything's on streaming. Like Hulu the next day or streaming.
Yeah. I mean, like, I want to cut the cord with cable so bad, but it's just the sports that keep me in. I really want to watch the Mets, and I really want to watch the Giants, and I really want to watch, you know, like, it's hard to, and the soccer games.
Hard to worry
about
the Giants right now.
Yeah. Did you make the playoffs?
Doesn't matter. You all ended up in the same place as us.
Oh, stop. That's the worst excuse ever.
Uh-huh.
You tell me that you don't care if you didn't make the playoffs. You just want to be.
I cared for an hour, and then I watch all you guys cry, and then I watch all the bandwagon Cowboys fans cry.
Well, that's the best part of everything. Yeah, when the Cowboys lose, that's the best. That's
next to Patriots losing is kind of fun nowadays.
Yeah, I Giants was a successful year for me. I thought I thought they'd be at the end 8-8, maybe compete, but they had a great year. Mm. And Green Bay was just a better team.
That throw at the end of the game. Jesus Christ.
It's insane. It's insane. I'm rooting for... I tell you, though, nobody... This is why Atlanta's so dangerous, because not one person has talked about them all season and all playoffs.
I think they're more complete than Green Bay.
Yeah. I think their offense is ridiculous. That game might have 70 total points.
Yeah. Bear in mind, we're talking about this after everybody watched the game.
Yeah. That's true. That's fine. But Nobody, and if you say you mentioned Atlanta, nobody's talked about Atlanta. They flew completely under the radar.
Pittsburgh, kind of, nobody really talked about it. It's like, yeah, they're good, but they're Pittsburgh. And
yeah, but I feel like everyone's like, you know, like Pittsburgh, Dallas, Green Bay, those kind of like names are so big that like, and fan bases are so big that it's like, they're always talked about. Like, they're always in the media. Whereas, like, Atlanta, they kind of flew on the radar, and they're very dangerous.
Yep.
But all the matchups, I think, are interesting for a Super Bowl thing.
They're
so
awesome. Yep.
But let's get out of here, Burrow.
All right.
Oop. Go ahead. Anything to promote?
We'll just keep on promoting Podcast Land. Get us our votes, people. We want to be the January podcast of the month.
Start the year off right.
Yeah, we are in the lead, and we need your help to stay there.
What's the count right now?
The count right now is Verbal Shenanigans 29, and our closest opponent, the Fashion Disclosure, at 20.
So here's what you need to do. You not only need to leave us a review, positive review on iTunes, you need to go bash the Fashion Disclosure.
Yeah.
Say how horrible it is. I'm just kidding. Fashion.
They like socks with sandals.
They're just weird guys, awful podcasts. No, but all you do is you go there and you vote Verbal Shenanigans. You put your email in and then it sends a confirmation email and boom, you're done.
Okay. Exactly.
And that's it. We would like to win it. We've tried a couple times before.
We kind of jokingly did it a few times, and then there were some months like some podcast got 57 votes. It's like, all right, screw that.
We're gonna win it this month. I will figure out a way to win. We got a good amount of time left, so we're in the lead. Mm-hmm. Let's keep it going. And I just want to promote. I don't know. Let's see. I'll promote the Brook Hollow Winery.
Yay.
And their show. February 18th is the show.
But don't we put this show out in 20 something?
In 20 something?
On the 24th?
Yeah, but it's February.
Oh, duh. Yeah. Damn it, Scott. Now it's contagious.
Now I have the dumbs.
Oh!
I have the dumbs now.
I heard somebody with a kite today.
Let me just make sure. Yeah, February 18th. It's a sweetheart of a deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's $25 for dinner, dessert, a glass of wine, and the show.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's Mike Gaffney, Ritu Chandra, Jackie Byrne, and myself. So we'll see. It's the first. It's really the first one because the other one was a private party.
Yeah.
This is the first one like trying the public. So if you want to come out, it's a great deal.
And it's a great winery too. Can't say enough about those people.
And you know those comics are not going to disappoint you. There might be one, the dumb guy. The dumb guy in the beginning might disappoint you, but that's what I'm going to prove.
I had the microphone on backwards.
I like funnies. But
you should try that one. Maybe that'd be like a Shenanigans Showdown thing. Just go up there. How did it go? Oh, God damn it.
Me and Bobby Gaines were talking yesterday. It'd be fun for like a mic. Like we put in a bunch of names of like celebrities or characters. And before you go up, you got to pick one out and you got to do your set as that character. Like you got to do it as Trump. You got to do it as James Brown. You got to do that. So you do your jokes, but in them like, yay, you know, like James. We thought it'd be fun, like, to do like some kind of mic that is changing rules, like every month or something.
I'd pick something super, like Scarlett Johansson. I'm like,
how do I do this?
Hi, I'm Tim Meadows, and this is Tim Meadows' act.
Yeah. But it would be fun. That'd be a fun, like, community kind of building thing, like just for fun. Like, you're not really.
No, we're supposed to all hate each other. Remember?
Apparently, in the modern day world, you just have to hate everything. No matter what comes out, you just hate it.
Yep.
That's it. You just say how terrible it is. But
except
guys,
me. All
you have to do is listen to the podcast. That's the other thing I want to talk about. We are on so many different platforms to listen to. See, I almost struggle with the word platform. The dumbs are taking over. We are on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Laughable, the Laughable app, which is awesome. If you listen, if you do Laughable, you could just type in any comic, and it'll tell you every podcast they're ever on, which is pretty cool.
Any
comic. we are
Verbal Shenanigans and the Johnny Watson Show.
We are on, what else did I get us on recently? We are on Google Play, I believe.
Oh.
I don't know. We're on a bunch of different things. Obviously, you're not as dumb as I am, just type Verbal Shenanigans into iTunes, and it comes up with, there's a million ways to listen. I've submitted it to everything.
We're really just happy if you choose one, because we've been struggling with
just one. We're getting better. We're bouncing back.
All right.
Sort of. But please, just share with your friends if you like what you hear, if you like the guest. Tweet at the guest or send the guest, like, hey, heard your interview on the show, loved it. Go back and listen to past episodes. This year it started off great, Berlo. We had Paul Templer, a hippo attack survivor. Mm-hmm. We had George Koronis, who was in volcanoes and you name it, a million other things. Mm-hmm. G-Love, Randy Taylor, and now Kirby Chambliss. So we got a lot of things on the horizon.
Crazy.
But I'm talking too much, so let's get out of here. Yeah. Life is funny. Laugh at it. Keep doing it. You're back. Bye-bye.
Keep the stupid behind.
Keep the dumbs at your back face.
Mess it up again, Scott. Thinking of you's working up my appetite. Looking forward to a little afternoon delight. Rubbing sticks and stones together make a spark ignite. And the thought of rubbing you is getting so exciting. Sky rockets in flight.